Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL.
Today we are talking to James. James from the band Writer. He is the singer. You guys are from Queens, New York.
Yes, we are.
Well, thank you for coming and joining me. I always like to do a little bit of an icebreaker. Think of something unique, interesting, or funny about you that maybe people don't know.
As an elective in college, I took voice acting classes.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I could see that. So I want to start by you maybe telling me a little bit or telling us about the band Writer and kind of the journey of how it started.
Oh, man. Well, the band started 8 years ago, August 2016, and we've been through many facelifts, many band members. Our most recent lineup change happened in January of this year. And we, as of today, actually, funny enough, we're celebrating 9 months to, 8 months to the day that we announced the new lineup and had our first rehearsal. So the band now consists of myself on vocals and guitar, Max Knight on guitar, Rod Viquez on bass guitar, and Nick Bavaro on the drums.
And how is that going? Going well?
Oh, it's going great. I mean, like I said, I went to my doctor and he took my blood pressure and he checked my pulse. I said, "Why?" And he's like, "Well, you're so calm. You're not registering a pulse."
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's going good." So.
Good. No, I love to hear that. What am I saying here? What is your influence? What is
influences.
Your influence? Yeah, what are your influences?
Well, excuse me. The band is a hard rock band. You know, no frills, no Cookie Monster vocals. You know, no Nikes in a dryer, kick drum patterns and stuff like that. You know, just hard rock as it should be. You know, all due respect to all the other stuff. I like me some Cookie Monster every now and again, but you know, I just can't do it. And you know, if I had to, you know, take my song and, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about Lillian's Lullaby later, but you know, I mean, if I just sit there, you know, it could work maybe, but you know, I'll definitely have a sore throat after. So we're a hard rock band. Some of our influences: Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Whitesnake. I fucking love David Coverdale. He's one of the best vocalists, best frontman. You know, his work with Deep Purple in the Mach 2 lineup. I mean, my God, Burn is a great record. Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, guitar idol of mine. There's so many of them, but like, just that classic era, you know, of like mid 70s to like, you know, late 80s, early 90s, you know, before before grunge came and yeah. we got depressed.
80s were good. The 80s and early 90s, it was a lot different music. It was about love and all kinds of stuff in all different ways. So I do love it.
Many different ways, many different positions, and no consequences until 1990, and then all downhill from there.
And can we briefly talk about the difference in just music industry itself? Because in videos, you saw the big buses and you saw all this crazy stuff, and now bands are in vans for the most part, just trying to make it to the next date.
Oh my God! Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's wild. I mean, back then, I mean, both. Let me rephrase that. It's a little, It's the same, but like now more people are in the know. Back then it was like you had the image, you had the smoke and mirrors, everything looked good. You had the big bus, you had all that other stuff. What you didn't know is that, you know, the band was paying for that on the back end. You know, so that's where a lot of the money went, on the back end. So now you know where it's coming from, what you have to do. God, I spoke to a bus driver. And it's just like, you know, it's like what, like a like two grand a 2-3 grand a week. Like it's not cheap. I mean, back then, you know, you had big stage setups, and now with the cost of travel and other stuff, now you got bands doing acoustic tours because it's a lot easier, less gear, and you know, more return on profit.
Buy the merch. That's where they get the money. Buy the merch. Buy the
Buy the
merch.
merch.
Buy the
Yes, buy our shit.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. It's crazy when you think about that because it was such a huge production. And our children or grandchildren are gonna look back on that time and be like, what happened? Like, how come everybody's in little tiny things all smushed together, thinking everybody travels in these big, huge, huge buses
Oh,
all the
yeah.
time?
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. No, I mean, oh, back in the day, I mean, you had a band like Kiss where it was just like out of this world, you know? And now it's like, now you got fucking holograms and what the fuck? Like, it's Star Wars is slowly becoming a reality.
Want to dive right in. You know that I have this high interest in your song Lilin's Lullaby. Can you tell me about tell everyone else about the story of Lilin's Lullaby? It's really an unbelievable story that anyone would ever experience something like this. So I would love for you to kind of retell. Tell us about it.
Of course. That song, to put it very, very, to sum it up for people who don't want to hear the long explanation, it is a song that, you know, it was a near-death experience that I had. You know, be careful who you trust.
Trigger
Basically,
warning.
yes.
Trigger warning.
Basically, I met a female, and you know, things were going great and things were wonderful, and I was dosed. I blacked out. I don't remember a lot of stuff, and I woke up the next day, and I was naked, she was naked, and I had cut marks all over my body. I didn't know what it was. Didn't look like nails, didn't look like any other stuff.
Wasn't just a good time.
It was not just a good time. And you know, I still don't remember fully what happened that night. Yeah, I flew home, and you know, I was about literally like 1500 miles away. You know, and out of respect for all parties and stuff, I know I'm not gonna, you know, oh, this is where I was, where it happened. I got home, and I am very highly spiritual. I love Reiki, I love all that stuff. I blame one of my exes in California. You know, she got me my first amethyst crystal, and I've been carrying rocks ever since.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
So, and I say rocks lovingly, so all the spiritual, don't hate me, don't stone me to death. Yeah, I'm kidding. I mean it out of love. Don't hex me. Yeah, no, I went to my Reiki person, and it was the oddest experience ever. She freaked the fuck out, and she's like, "You can't come in my house." I'm like, what, do I smell like shit? Like what happened? Like what did I do? Like I didn't offend you. Like I just literally rang the bell, and she's like, no, like you have something attached to you. And you know,
Attachment.
keep in mind at this point, like I was very like I skeptical would I mean I just didn't believe at all. So when she said I had an attachment, so naturally my instinctual reaction is
There's nobody on my back.
I don't see nothing.
Right.
So I confront the person I was with, and I basically, I basically said, and I'm like, so, that awkward phone call. Hey, I don't really remember
Did
what
you keep
happened.
in touch with her after that happened, or did you just okay? You're
Gone.
like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, and nonchalantly, she basically said, yes, well, I was trying to cut your throat and sacrifice you to Lilith, but for some reason, you were too fidgety and kept moving. So for the anime fans out there, if you watch Dragon Ball Super, some call that Ultra Instinct. I don't know what the fuck happened, but by the grace of whatever God, whatever was watching me, there is no reason why I should have made it out of that hotel room alive, but I did.
I
And
can't believe she told you. That's so
oh,
surprising. I can't believe.
nonchalantly, like very like matter of fact,
I
as
was
if like,
trying to sacrifice you. It's fine.
yeah, it was just like, just like, yeah, I was trying to kill you. I was just, like what got me was just like just the matter of fact, like the coldness of it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna preface by saying this. By me telling my story, I am in no way saying that, oh my God, just because I worship Lilith or worship, no.
Yeah.
This is not, this is one person. This is my story. This is my instance. I'm not, taking the paintbrush and, all
Yeah.
of you, like, no.
Yeah, no judgment on it. It's just a story that's being told on, yeah. Yeah.
So I spoke to my person, and yeah, basically what ended up happening is started doing some stuff, lots of sage, lots of I think they called it a cord cutting. I just
Yes.
literally took yarn, bound my wrists, bound my feet, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, I'm gonna end up on a rotisserie. Here's where some weird shit happened. So,
Weird. Now's where some weird
yeah,
stuff happens.
now's the weird shit.
Okay.
No, this is the weird shit. This is the part where I went from being a skeptic to becoming agnostic. Basically, they had me say this thing over and over again. I'm repeating it. I'm repeating it. I'm repeating it. Saying it. Saying it. Saying. My voice dropped four fucking octaves. It didn't sound like me, and not like this is like my normal low range is like that, right?
Yeah.
No, this was like, no, this is not my voice. And, cut the yarn, burned it. It burned like lime green. I'm like, oh
Wow.
shit. It's really, wow.
Is that your first cord cutting that you've ever
Oh yeah.
done?
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's
So
interesting.
yeah, and I'm just in there, and my person was just like, yeah, what you had attached to you was really, really like evil. I'm like, are we like demonic evil? They're like, oh yeah. I'm like,
So did you feel different between the time of when you flew back home and obviously the time that you went to go to your Reiki practitioner and then you called the girl to find out what she had done? Were you having issues in between to where you were like, something's fucking wrong?
not really.
Yeah.
Not really, because I thought it was jet lag,
Okay.
honestly. So for me, it was just like, okay, long flight and,
Yeah.
sidebar where I was flying from, sorry, but fuck American Airlines. They changed their gate 25 times for me, flying home, and it was a pain in the ass. So I thought it was jet lag. I
Yeah,
didn't
so it
think.
wasn't a long time, like 2 months in between or something like that.
No,
Okay.
it was
I was
like, it
like, you
was
didn't notice anything was wrong in 2 months?
Oh, look, I'm starting instead of eating steaks, I'm now eating the cow whole.
Okay. I'm thinking pigs, but I don't know. Yeah,
Yeah.
no. Like, you didn't notice any like really weird things after 2 months?
Oh wow, I think I might have an iron deficiency. Let
Yeah.
me just drink this blood here.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I
But
was like, that would
that's
be
all.
weird.
Oh, see this cross over here. Let me just there we go. No. I kid, obviously. And look, I'm I know there are other people who have been through similar experiences. You know, this is not, I'm not poking fun at you. I'm not doing that. You know, I again, it's just me, you
No,
know.
if you're sharing your
I'm a New
story,
Yorker asshole, so
it again. What did you say?
no, I said I'm a New Yorker, I'm an asshole, so
So when
but
you went back to the Reiki, did they say you, did she say you were then cleared up? Did she
oh yeah,
kind of how, okay. So after that, how long, I know that this was actually, I know we're laughing right now, but I, since you and I are friends, I know
Of
you'd said
course.
it was a very heavy thing for you to go through and come to
Oh
terms with. How long did the process take from you understanding what had happened to you doing the cord cutting to you trying to find some sort of a healing? Was the healing right after you did the cord cutting, or was that when the music came and you decided to write about it? Did, how did that process kind of take place?
it different lengths of time. When I did the cord cutting and I found out, it was literally within like a week and a half. So it was just like, as soon as I found out, I'm just like, oh fuck no.
Cord
Like,
cut, cord cut, cord cut, cord cut,
yeah,
right?
I'm like, what do I gotta
Yeah.
do? Do I gotta douse myself in holy water? What do I gotta do here? You know, and just, oh, we're gonna do this. So we did this. I'm like, oh, okay. So we went, did that, and after that it was kind of like, you know, very, it was a period of rationalization, just trying to process what had happened. And then like the more you thought about it, and the more you play through it in your mind, it's like, you know, it took my one of my former bandmates now, to literally sat there and said, no, like you were raped. Like you were drugged, you were raped. And that's beyond the spiritual aspect. You know, I shared my story with this literally about a year ago. And yeah, it just like the reason why I came out with this is like, this is not, you know, this is not to promote a song. This is not to do anything else. It's merely, you know, for me to tell my truth and for me to do this, because, you know, this normally you don't hear a lot of guys come out and say stuff like this. And it's, you know, it's very hard to like, you know, really just like accept that and come to terms with that of like, wow, like that happened to me. And you know, and it took a while. I can say at this point in my life, I am in a different place. I have accepted it. I have, you know, for the most part, moved on from it. I don't forget it, but you know, it was a part of me. But you know, I am definitely in a better place now. With the music, that was all a part of the healing process. You know, after having that conversation with my former bandmate, you know, I sat and just the lyrics just kind of came. I had the riff prior to the incident happening, and it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, well, what do we do with it? You know, I'm just sitting with it. And at the time, we had just signed to a record label, and we had to work on a release, and we were writing new music. And this was one of the songs that it was like, well, what if I write about this? And I did. And, you know, it became what is our song, Lilin's Lullaby. The reason why I came up with that title is the, you know, getting into the whole spiritual stuff with people. The person who did the cord cutting basically told me that what I had attached to me is what's known as a Lillen. And I'm like, the fuck is a Lillen? And it's like, oh, well, it's like, you know what a succubus is, right? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I watch horror movies. Like, yeah, of course I do. It's like, but and like, you know, horror lore and other stuff. I'm just like, don't they fuck you in your dreams? Like how the, what's that? It's like, okay, well, basically a Lillen is a succubus on steroids. I'm like, oh. And my person told me, you know, oh yeah, you know, like not many people like really, you know, come out the other side with encounters like that. And I'm like,
Yeah, that's heavy. That's heavy.
and it's like, and keep in mind, my mindset at the time, you know, being completely unaware, it's like, oh yeah, you could have died. You, this could have happened to you. Yeah, I mean, I it's a great song. You know, if people want to listen to it, we have a, you know, a normal version, electric version, I should say, and then we have an acoustic version.
Yeah, I like the acoustic. I
Yeah.
mean, I like them both, but I like the acoustic.
Oh yeah, no, the acoustic. I had fun doing that one. So many layers of guitars. But yeah. So it's that's how the song came out, and it was definitely, you know, it was an experience that changed my life. I mean, you know, like think about like thinking about the timeline of all of this stuff. It was like, you know, the week before this trip, I had signed my first record contract. I was like think of, you know, just the irony and, you know, all of that stuff, you know, finally achieved what you wanted. You signed your first record deal, and then a week later you could be dead in a fucking hotel room.
How did that affect how you move forward, that experience? Because there is many people, and as you said, with men, with women, they never talk about it, but men certainly never talk about anything that has to do with SA. It's not even something that would be on the horizon. So how did that impact how you move forward with your music? Or did it that
It,
much?
it, if anything, it actually helped my music. It helped me open up. You know, it helped me be more comfortable in my own skin and open up and express myself more. And, you know, like literally just pour my heart out into my music. Not saying I didn't do that previously, but, you know, growing up as a guy, it's, you know, well, you know, oh, don't be a sissy. Don't be this, you know, like,
No, it's true. It's true. I talk about that all the time with men. Like, it's okay. You can say how you feel. And they're like, oh, no. So it's true.
what feelings? No.
What? I
How
can't do it. I
dare
can't do
you?
it. No, it's true. It's true. Have you found that when you write your music, have you found a different connection that the fans have with the music that you write that has to do with actual mental health or experiences versus just ones that maybe you write because they sound good? Do you get a different response from the fans on that?
I do.
Do you?
I definitely do. Usually with something like Lillen's Lullaby, though, when the song first came out, nobody knew the story. So it's like, you know, they would listen to it, and, you know, like the common misconception is, oh yeah, it's about an ex-girlfriend. Not ex-girlfriend, but you know, kind of, you know,
Ex for sure.
gold star for effort. You know, you're on the right track. But so when we came out with the original version, it was just very much like, all right, you know, let the music speak for itself, do that, do everything else. And then we recorded the acoustic version. And when we put that out, it was, you know, give a little context. And, you know, that was the first time I ever shared my story, and the first time I ever, you know, I ever said that. And I was a complete fucking wreck. That interview, I believe, I forgot what it was called, the show. It was a bit ago, but that interview that I did. So the original format of the interview was we were going to do the interview and we were going to tell the story and then we were going to play the song. Well, and I'm not blaming nobody, it's show business, it happens. Did the interview. Then they decided to play the song. And then, right after the song, tell us the story about the song. It's like after listening to the song and doing that, it was kind of like that, moment. And, and look, I'm proud to admit it. I got emotional. I broke down during the interview. I got really choked up. And it was, I've had people who watched it live who said that it was one of the most difficult interviews and that they applauded me for telling my story and they said, I love you to death, but I will never fucking watch that interview again because it is such a tough watch. Because it was just as soon as she asked the question, it's like there was like a minute and a half of just silence. It's like, like the face tells the story. And that was it. And it was just really tough. But
Have you
yeah, no.
do you play the song live?
Oh, of course.
Do you now separate it from I'm singing the song, I'm
I do.
performing versus sinking
Yes.
into it? Are you able to do that now? You are.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was able to do it before.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, so that's where I came up with the title.
None.
Like when the original version came out, we played the song, we did whatever, and then the acoustic version just, it hit differently. And, it was a lot more intimate and it was a lot more like you felt more of the pain of the story in the acoustic version. So it's like that one is just kind of like, okay, like, yeah, you get a little, some flashbacks, you get some stuff. And it was like the first few times we played it, we actually only ever played it acoustically in April of this year. I never played it acoustically when it came out because the people, the people I worked with previously, well, they didn't want to play acoustic. And I'm like, well, that's okay. So we didn't play it until April of this year. And then we played it. And then we played it since. And it was just a lot of the sting's gone. There's been that level of healing. There's been that level of acceptance. And I'm very sympathetic to anyone who's ever been through any sort of trauma, whether, not just SA or anything else, anything. I mean, I'm an ally. I don't care. I mean, look, I'm 6'6", I'm bearded, I got long hair, but you can come up to me. I will listen. And and I think that's one of the greatest things about telling my story with that song is that it, not only helped me get through my shit, but it also showed other people. And I've been contacted by many amazing people who said, how my story helped them, how the song helped them. And it's like for me, that what more could you ask for?
I think that music is a catalyst for healing for so many. That's the whole reason why I'm wanting to do more of this, because from the writer to the singer to the listener, it can all be very different experiences, but it still can provide healing through all the different layers. So it is so important.
I mean, we already announced it last month. We're working on a new record. We're working on a new album. It's called Menagerie. If things go the way that they are, we should be looking at the first single, coming out November 8th.
Okay.
Sorry,
It's
I
not
had to
too far.
consult my had to consult my planner. So first single should be coming November 8th, second single December,
Okay.
third single in January, and then the album should be dropping in February.
Perfect. That goes.
Yeah, so it's 10 songs. 11, we are doing a Japanese edition, so obviously the Japanese bonus track and other stuff. So for that release, it's going to be different. We're doing a acoustic version of one of our new songs called One Eye Open.
Okay.
So that's only going to be available in Japan.
That's
But we're talking with some distributors. We'll see if we import a few copies, so
I bet
so
you could.
people can buy it here.
I bet you could do that.
Anything revolving mental health or like
Yeah.
issues or stuff like that. Yeah, there are a few songs that are directly related to that. So yes, there are. Which ones are they?
Right,
God, listen to the record.
by the record.
Listen
By
to the record.
the record.
Stream the
We're
record, buy the record, whatever you want to do with the record.
So the single will be out November 8th, you said?
The first single should be out November 8th,
Okay. And where
yes.
can they
God
find
willing. Yeah.
it better be, it better be.
Yeah.
Where can they find your all your goodies?
Spotify, iTunes, well, Apple Music now. I'm sorry, I'm old. I call it
I
iTunes.
do too.
But Amazon, Pandora, wherever you stream music, we are going to have limited physical CDs. I know some people, oh, what the fuck's a CD? Well, yeah. We would have vinyl, but I mean, the turnaround time for vinyl, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like 16 weeks.
I bet.
It costs a couple grand. It's like, yeah. But maybe if the album does well, maybe we'll take a look
Get
and
some.
get a few of them made. But we'll
Do you
see.
have
But yeah.
any upcoming shows that you have planned, or are you going to do more after the album releases?
We do have a few shows. Depending on when this is going to air, so I could be talking, past tense. So if we're talking future tense, if this is going to come out before September 26th, September 27th and 28th, we are going to be playing at the Stutzen Street Theater in Rochester on the
Okay.
27th, and then the Lancaster Motorplex for the U.S. Open racing event
Oh, nice.
in Lancaster, New York, Buffalo. It's on the Buffalo border. That's going to be that Saturday. So we're going to have a really good weekend there. Rockin' racing. It's going to be great.
I would love that.
November 3rd. So, well, that's if this comes out before then. If this comes out after that weekend, it was a great fucking show. We had a great time. It
It
was wonderful. It was awesome. Just everything. Just they were throwing babies. It was great. I had to catch a few of them though, but
was wild.
it
It
was wild. But November, our next show after that, November 3rd, we are playing the Rock and Stock Food Drive Festival in New Jersey. It's by the Old Bridge Metal Militia and the Bootleg, what are they called? Bootleg Bastards Social Men's Club. I hope I got that right, Ray. I'm sorry if I didn't.
And
But
it's a fundraiser.
it's a fundraiser. It's for the it's for a food bank in Jersey, in that part of Jersey. They did really, really well last year, and it is, most importantly, it is held in honor of a friend of mine who passed away a few years ago. His name is Chris Hominy. He used to run the Old Bridge Metal Militia, and he did a great job of just, very community active. Raised up in the Old Bridge, New Jersey area, like raised so much for so many things, homeless
I love
shelters,
that.
food banks. He was a great guy. And this is the second annual event. We would have played the first annual event, but you know, around the time it happened last year, I didn't have a band.
Whole nother show, whole nother show.
that's a whole other thing. But you know, we are playing the second annual one, which is great. And then November 8th, Friday, November 8th, which is when the first single should be streaming, November 8th, we are playing Fatalo Fest, Phtalo. So sorry for the dyslexics, I'm spelling at you. It's the second annual festival. That one is in our hometown of Queens, New York.
That'll be fun.
It's our first time playing in Queens in 5 years
Do you
because
like
after
hometown shows?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I tell a lie. That's our first electric show playing in
Okay.
Queens in 5 years. So anyone who's going to come back, here, what are you talking about? You played acoustic in Queens. Okay, first electric show. Set the record straight. But that's going to be a good time. So that's in Ridgewood, Queens, the Stone Circle Theater. So it's going to be a great night. And then after that, we have some plans in December. We got to get them together. But we are going to do, you know, one more show, maybe two more, one or
Okay.
two more to close out the year, and
See how
then it's
everything
all.
does, the music does, and maybe you'll be
Yeah.
on a tour all across the United States.
If you can find me a sugar daddy to fund it.
Know. I'll look. I will look. I will be looking. Sugar daddies, where are
Sugar daddy,
you?
sugar mommy,
Come
whatever.
help us.
No, but I will say this much. Next year we are planning on, you know, on hitting the road in support of the record. So should be fun, you know. Are we gonna make it out to Oklahoma again? It's been a while.
It has been a while. It has been.
So I know, you know, I know I have a few people who are sitting there and telling me I gotta hit up the shrine. I'm like, hey,
It's
listen,
true.
they know my number. So,
Shrine in Oklahoma. Shrine. Calling shrine. So, perfect. Well, is there anything else that you want to share about upcoming events? Any words of encouragement to someone who's struggling? That's really where my heart always goes to through music and through everything is what can we do to help someone else that might be struggling?
Well, I mean, shows wise we covered. I mean, if you want to check us out, facebook.com/riderbandny. We're on Instagram at rider on underscore NY, and that's rider with a Y. So RYDER underscore NY, that's for Instagram. You know, check us out on Spotify, everything else. And as far as words of encouragement for anyone that is struggling, I guess the only thing I could say is, you know, it's kind of hard to come up with a blanket statement because everyone,
Oh, I
like
know.
everything is so personal. But what I can say for a lot of people is life is way too short. And, you know, every day that you wake up is a success. And anything that happens from the moment you open your eyes forward is, it's just gravy from there.
Love that. I love that. It's true. And we lose sight of that so often because of small things when really we're not even promised the next minute. So,
Yeah.
well, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure we'll have to revisit this again once the album comes out.
Oh, absolutely.